Good morning, church. You want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plans. They say in John 15, 16, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Jesus Christ chose you. And as we get started, the first thing I want to do is there's something different about this sanctuary, isn't there? Like right behind me. Isn't there something beautiful? I'll tell you what, Becky, thank you so much. Becky Hale put together these incredibly inspired stained glass that are now behind us. And we thank you for that. And it wouldn't go without saying to thank you, round of applause for also Rich for doing the framing for these and the painting. He spent all week here doing this. So good morning. To you here, for the folks that are online, who I've asked to watch, good morning to you. Peace and grace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John Knox, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Huldrych Zwingli were key figures in the Protestant Reformation in the 15th and 16th century movement that sought to reform the Roman Catholic Church and led to the establishment of Protestantism. And so today's sermon is titled Transformed by the Power of God. This is a sermon on the theme of transformation. And what I'm going to do for you today is to give you an introduction, some transformation photos, some scripture, and some application that you can use in your life today. And so this introduction begins with, what does it mean to be transformed by the power of God? Transformation is not just a change of appearance, behavior or circumstance, but a radical change in our inner nature, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. Transformation is not something we can achieve by our own efforts, but it is the work of God's grace and spirit in our lives. Amen? Transformation is not a one-time event, but a lifelong process of growing in the image and likeness of Christ. Now, Paul mentions this. He mentions it somewhere, doesn't he? Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians in 3:2, and here's what he says. I gave you milk. This is Paul with his instructions in Corinth. I gave you milk, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Now, Paul has compared the Corinthian Christians to babies. Despite being saved for some unexplained length of time, they have not matured spiritually. The problem isn't that they are not Christians, nor have they been denied the opportunity to grow. These believers have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, and they have simply not participated in the process of abandoning their selfish ways so they can grow spiritually. They could behave as spiritually empowered believers, but instead they behave as nearly or even merely humans. And Paul writes that when he was with them, when they were first saved, he fed them with milk. And by this, he means that he taught them the most basic things about God and what it means to be a Christian. As with any newborn, they were only prepared to consume and digest the very basics. Like babies, they begin with liquids, milk. But now, however, they should be ready for solid food. Milk is meant to inspire growth into a more mature, more capable creation. These believers should, by now, be ready for more challenging truths of selflessly walking in Christ and living according to the Spirit. They are still not ready to chew, however. And why is it that Corinthian Christians have gained so little maturity? Paul holds them responsible for their own lack of growth. And during Bible study today, we're going to dive a little more into Paul in another verse here in verse 3:3. Transformation is not only for our personal benefit, but also for God's glory and the advancement of His kingdom. Now, I know some of you are probably going to say, how did this guy end up on the cover of GQ magazine? Now, for those who don't know what GQ magazine is, it's also known as Gentleman's Quarterly, that appears every month and was first published in the U.S. in 1931 as Apparel Arts. Let's talk about some of these transformations, shall we? This photo here, I'm in, and by the way, my children have not seen these photos, so they got smiles on their face right now. So this is me in kindergarten, and I know you're probably saying, those glasses look amazing. This is another photo. I think I'm in fifth grade here in kindergarten. And then moving into middle school, I believe this might be a seventh grade photo. This photo here, I believe, is in ninth grade, so I'm just going into high school. And so you're starting to see some transformation, certainly physically. How about this transformation? You know, it doesn't go unless you have hard work here. So this is me at 16 or 17. I'm a green belt in martial arts. And so, some of you people are doing martial arts, right? And so there's me at that age. I couldn't do that today, but nonetheless, that's me being transformed. And when you work hard at something like this, you can position yourself to even win some trophies. This picture is up in Connecticut. As a 17 or 18-year-old, as I was participating in some combat. Here's a picture in college. As you can tell, I'm wearing a jumpsuit here. 21 years of age, I was about to go into the military, and I found out that civilians can jump out of planes. Now, that sounds a little crazy, but take a look at this photo right here. This is me hanging outside of a Cessna. I am 4,300 feet above the ground, and my feet are dangling in the wind. When the door opened, I had to work my way out and grab onto these grips and then just kind of fall off. Can you imagine that for a second? Maybe your heart's racing. My heart was racing, and I had fear in me, and I'm still here today, obviously. And I let go of that plane, and this was called a ripcord static pull where the parachute opens up in about 5 seconds and 500 feet of falling. That took some faith. Here's a photo of me working in 2004, I believe. This is a transformation. This is youth fellowship. I'm going on my second international mission trip, and I'm working with youth kids. This is in Miguel Alemán, which is a borderline ministry right across Roma, Texas. And this is the compound that we stayed on. Our objective was to build a family home for residents in this market. You want to talk about not being blessed, if you will, when you go outside of the United States and you want to see poverty? You might just see it when you come out these doors. This is the leadership team in Miguel Alemán. This is working on someone's home, and so we were mixing concrete and then building the walls for a 20 by 20 home. No toilets, no running water. Yeah, no running water. This is the home that we were building for this family. This is La Iglesia. We would have afternoon worship in the church. And as we move out of international, move back into, this is a mission trip. This is the leadership team that I was a part of in Tennessee, the Appalachia Service Project. And I was given the job to build a trench around this person's home. They lived in the mountains, and when the water came down the mountain, guess where that water went? It went into their home. It went into this gentleman's home. So we built a trench, corrugated pipe and rock. And so when the water came down, it would work its way from the gentleman's home. This is us with a different kind of transformation. It was pretty muddy getting down deep in that mud, right? So this is us just having a good time. Moving into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, did a mission trip with some youth kids, the Salvation Army. Got to learn about the Salvation Army and what their ministry is. We got to serve the graduates in Hershey, Pennsylvania on a very hot day in June, serving them water and just this opportunity to be available to them. We have the Apostles' Creed right here. This is in a photo album that I have at home, the Apostles' Creed. I learn and have been teaching my kids the Apostles' Creed based upon this one here. It says the word God versus the word Spirit. This is the Lord's Prayer. So going through confirmation, I grew up learning the Apostles' Creed. It was one of the things that was required in confirmation class. Also the Lord's Prayer. Being a Presbyterian, we learned about the sacraments of baptism. These are also brochures that I still hold today, given to me 30-some years ago. Well, what about John Calvin, right? This French theologian and this great Reformation movement that took place. He's pinnacle in why we are Presbyterians here today, but nonetheless, lovers of Jesus Christ. What about being a Presbyterian? This is information that shares that with us as well. Now here at work, you know, you take your ministries where you go. You are to proselytize the message of Jesus Christ wherever you go. And so here at my work at Lumen, I had been in charge of a ministry. This one's called LFC Lumen. And out of these pictures, we had to choose. And the one that we ended up on was this one right here, that we could add to our signature, that we could have monthly Bible studies. This is called LFC Lumen, Living for Christ at Lumen. And so wherever you go, think about transformations here at Hope and the technology that we've brought. We have streaming that you can be at home if you're sick. Right, Ron? You can be at home, turn on your TV, and there you got Pastor Marty sitting there preaching the sermon. There's transformations both physically. There's transformation in technology. Here we have a transformation, a physical transformation around the building here. Thanks to Ron for recognizing that the steps for this playground was deteriorating. And so he made a transformation on that. Thank you, Ron, for that. We're doing transformations with inside of our sanctuary. You see that nice green carpet there? We've now changed it out with this wonderful gray squares. Continuation continues. Here's the transformation of the back wall that we see over here for our band. And then, of course, when you add those really cool lights to make things interesting. Thank you, Ted. And you remember we talked about that GQ kid, right? Well, sometimes you can have a transformation. Now, I kid you not, this is a GQ magazine. That is my face. Now, when I went to choose this particular GQ article that was out on the internet, I kid you not, you might be able to not be able to read it here, but it says in the upper left corner, this was arbitrary, I just picked it. It had my face photoshopped in there. I didn't know until afterwards. It says, Get Religion, our fifth annual style Bible with David Beckham, the patron of Saint Swagger. If you stick around for Bible study, I'll show you something in the bottom right corner. Dear ones, God continues to transform us both physically, spiritually, and even in our surroundings. So would you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. This we ask in your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles or electronic devices, or you simply want to follow up on the screen as we look at being transformed by the power of God, we're going to start off with the scripture of Romans 12:2. And what Romans says here is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation, the old is gone, and the new is here. Philippians 1:6, Philippians is often titled the letter of joy. And Philippians 1:6 reads, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. If we look back at all of those photos, we can see definite transformations in my walk, in the life of this church, and yes, there is still more transformations to come with Hope Church. Colossians 3:5-10, but put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. You and I are in constant change. And that's why Paul talks, starting with milk. And then as you grow, you become more seasoned. And then you got to live into the Word even further. How can we apply these things to our lives? So we're going to talk about the application. How can we experience transformation by the power of God in our lives? And to experience transformation by the power of God in our lives, we need to be honest with ourselves and others. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for forgiveness. We need to let go of our old self with its practices and embrace our new self in Christ. We need to renew our minds with the truth of God's Word and His image. We need to follow the example of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to what? And He came to serve. Let me repeat that. We need to follow the example of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. This life is not about you. It is about Christ. It is about God. It's all about Him. Now, a friend told me the other day, and I really am telling you, he told me the other day, I have heard it said that There really isn't retirement this side of heaven. For the Christians, it's just reassignment. Amen? We need to use our gifts and talents to bless others and glorify God. We need to trust God's plan and purpose for our lives and seek His kingdom first. Now, how can we experience transformation by people that are around us? One way we can experience transformation by people around us is by following example of godly leaders who inspire us to grow in our faith and service. For example, like Pastor Marty, faithfully delivering the message for us for many years, 16 years. Have you ever heard of the name Ravi Zacharias? I'm going to throw out some names to you today. Feel free to write them down. And then go to YouTube and go look at. These are people that I've been studying. Billy Graham and Franklin Graham. How about this person right here? I'd be curious to know. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the name Vodi Bakum. All right? Yeah. I really enjoy listening to this guy. He is a Southeastern Baptist theological. He grew up in a single parent. He was not a Christian, but Christ got a hold of him. He is a Reformed thinker. He's also an amillennialist. Does anybody know what amillennialist means? These terms, amillennialist or premillennialists, will talk about eschatological times. These are the end of times, as it will be revealed to you in Revelations in chapter 20. We don't do a lot of talk about that in the church today, although it's worthy of mentioning. The amillennialists will talk about this thousand-year reign. And this thousand-year reign for the amillennialists will be symbolic in nature. They will say that Christ will reign for a long time. The premillennialist, and I'll tell you, Pastor Marty is a premillennialist, and he'll tell you that this accompanying nature of the rapture when Christ has come back, we're going to have the 7 years of tribulation followed by the second coming or this millennial reign when Jesus Christ comes back to earth and reigns on earth for a literal 1,000 years. This is the leadership training guide, Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We do talk about it here. I got this back in 2009 when I became an elder. They talk about it. It is considered a non-essential because we have Christians in both camps of being an amillennialist or a premillennialist. These are things that you can get inspired. The next person I want to talk about is David Wood. I bumped into him on YouTube. He is a former atheist. He is a sociopath, but he found Jesus in prison. You can find him out on YouTube on Acts 17 Apologetics. Had about 700,000 viewer people that were following and subscribed to him. His new channel is called Apologetics Roadshow. He is also a graduate from the university, Old Dominion University. And he bumped into he wasn't a Christian at the time. He was Muslim. His name is Nabil Qureshi. Just phenomenal. This is a phenomenal story between two individuals. And David Wood and Nabil started to question each other. Now, if you're a Muslim, you know early on you're going to start learning Scripture. Probably much better than the Christians do. Well, they went at it for a long period of time and became really close friends. So much so that God converted. God grabbed a hold of Nabil. And Nabil is a Christian today, and he's living in heaven. He passed away in 2018. But before he died, he wrote two books. This one's called Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward. Then we have this book, No God But One. And it talks about Allah or Jesus. And we know as Christians, there is only one God. You can learn things from David Wood and Nabil. Have you ever heard of Tony Evans? Raise your hand if you know who Tony Evans is. Yeah. R.C. Sproul, Legionnaire Ministries. He's also no longer with us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is a Baptist preacher. He's also known as the Prince of Preachers. And then we have C.S. Lewis, the British writer, or Clive Staples. And you've heard his books turned into movies, The Chronicle of Narnia, right? And how about Dietrich Bonhoeffer? We did a study here at Hope. He's a German theologian, and he had a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Leaders who model humility, integrity, courage, and compassion can help us discover our own potential and thereby purpose and transformation. They can also challenge us to overcome our fears, our doubts and limitations, and pursue our God-given dreams and our callings. By learning from their words and actions, we can develop the skills and attitudes that will enable us to lead others. That we are to lead others. Dear ones, it's not where you are, but where you're going. And so I want to define for you the definition of a leader. A leader, listen clearly here, listen carefully. A leader is anyone at any level who takes the responsibility for finding the potential in people and processes and has the courage to develop that potential. You may have heard that before. This one here that I've written down comes from Brené Brown. A lot of big organizations today are following in some instruction from this social worker, best known for her work on shame and vulnerability and her big topics on leadership and courage. She's got a book out there today that's called Dare to Lead that I just finished and became certified in as well. Believe it or not, we are a people of complacency and relative lethargy, right? We need to get up and get moving. And God is asking you to trust Him. And if we are going to make our principal business about God, we need to have the courage to trust Him. And that's called courage over comfort, right? Leadership is not about a title, a salary, an office. It's about who you are and how you show up and if you're willing to believe in people and believe in the potential of changing things and hold yourself responsible for doing it. And I might add, to be driven by the Holy Spirit, that you and I are to be in supplication, that we are to be in prayer. Prayer continually on these things. Ask and ye shall receive according to the Father. Now let's move into some biblical examples of leadership that we can lean in on. And so the Bible is full of stories of people who demonstrated leadership in various ways. Some of them were chosen by God. Some of them rose to the occasion. And some of them learned from their mistakes. And here are a few examples of leadership from the Bible. Let's talk about Moses real quick. Moses was a leader who obeyed God's call to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He faced many challenges and difficulties, but he never gave up on mission. He communicated God's commands and promises to the people, and he interceded for them when they sinned. He also delegated tasks and responsibilities to others, such as Aaron, Joshua, and the elders of Israel. Deborah was a leader who judged Israel during the time of oppression by the Canaanites. She was a prophetess who heard from God and delivered His message to the people. She also had courage and wisdom to lead the Israelites into battle against their enemy. Along with Barak, the commander of the army, she inspired faith and confidence in God's deliverance among the people. And we all know David. He was a leader who judged Israel during the time of oppression by the king. Excuse me. David was a leader who was anointed by God to be the king of Israel. He started as a shepherd boy who killed a giant with a sling and a stone. He eventually became the king after Saul's death, and he led Israel to many victories and prosperity. He was a man after God's own heart. Ask yourselves that. Are you a person after God's own heart who worshiped God and repented of his sins? He also had a vision to build a temple for God, which his son Solomon fulfilled. And finally, Nehemiah was a leader who had... We talked about Nehemiah at the beginning of this with the 50 days of vitality. We started off with Nehemiah. He was a leader who had a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after the exile. He was a cupbearer to the king of Persia who granted him permission and resources to go back to Jerusalem and oversee the project. He faced opposition and threats. We get that too, right? He faced opposition and threats from the enemies, but he prayed and trusted God to protect him and the people. He also organized and motivated the people to work together and complete tasks in record time. I think we need to have a sense of urgency here in our lives, don't y'all? If you act casually, they say, you'll become a casualty. We have to put some pep in our step. He also instituted reforms to restore the worship and obedience of God among the people. These are some examples of leadership in the Bible. They show us that leadership is not about position or power, but about character and purpose. Leaders are those who follow God's will. They serve others, and they make a difference in the world. They also remind us that we all have a part to play in God's plan. Jesus Christ said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, in terms of transformation, leadership at every level, formal or informal, you showing up and holding yourself responsible and accountable and making a difference. As I've mentioned, the human condition is lethargy. It is not to lean in, Ron. It is not to be curious. It's not to have tough conversations. But it's rather more so to sit back and let everybody else do it. You do it first. You be the first one there and the last one to leave, right? You be selfless. And Jesus Christ didn't ask us this. He gave a commandment. And he said, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated to them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up, spoke to them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age.'" You have a part to play in our transformation. Right here at Hope Church. I'm going to end this because we haven't done this before. It's been a little seldom. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to the folks out there on the internet around the world. And for folks here today and at Hope, or even online if you are watching this service right now, if you have not taken Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you can say these words, and if you really mean it, "Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I surrender my life to you. Wash me clean. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross for me. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to live for you." If you've repeated what I've said, and you truly mean it, you will be saved. The Holy Spirit will be upon you. Ask Jesus into your heart today. And if you're online, leave us a comment. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for today's sermon. May we be transformed into your liking, that we may pick up our own cross and live for you, spreading the good news of salvation that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus indeed will save your life. In Jesus' name, amen.